You're listening to Fantasy Nightcap, a Fantasy Football Astronauts production, with your hosts, Fox and Shane.
Welcome to the Fantasy Nightcap. Grab a drink, kick back, and relax. I've already slid the glass over in part one back to our bartender, Fox, and I'm so glad to have him back. Welcome to part two. With us tonight is our friend and colleague, Spotlight, who's smarter than all of us combined. So, with that being said, we are jumping into what we're calling Spotlight time. We're going to let Spotlight run loose, talking about his article series that he is releasing and some league stuff that he is going to be looking at, as well as some college football and high school football recruiting stuff. So with that being said, though, how are you gentlemen doing?
Good. Good to be back. Good. Again.
Glad to have you back. Spotlight, how are you?
I'm doing fantastically well. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
I'm great, man. I am great. Before we get kicked off with Spotlight time, what's everyone drinking real quick?
Rocking the space probe again.
Nice. I am now drinking my favorite beer, if you guys listened to that episode, RJ Rocker's Son of a Peach.
Nice. Well, and I'm drinking Colonel E.H. Taylor Small Batch Straight Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey. It's bottled in bond.
Ooh. So, okay, so Spotlight, this is your time to shine, buddy. Pun definitely 1,000% intended. What is a campus-to-can league?
So a campus-to-can league is a type of DEVI league, which is short for developmental. And the biggest difference between a DEVI league and a campus-to-can league is that a DEVI league doesn't field a college team. A campus-to-can league fields a college team, and they have their own separate draft where you can get incoming freshman college players.
And with Campus to Canton, correct me if I'm wrong here, another main difference is that in a Campus to Canton league, your college roster actually scores points versus a DEVI league where you're basically just kind of holding them as like an extended taxi squad where they're not scoring points for you until they get to your NFL roster. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. So what kind of interests you in Campus to Canton enough to write an article series about it? And then once you answer that, can you tell us more about that series and what it's going to outline?
Yeah. Well, I love fantasy football.
Amen. That's what we do, right?
I love playing it in redraft. I specifically remember in 2014 in my only fantasy league, which is a redraft league, I drafted DeMarco Murray, Antonio Brown, and Peyton Manning, and they all had like career seasons, and I won. And I didn't even play anybody when they were in their byes. I didn't even pick up people. So I got addicted very soon. And then 2 years later, I got in a dynasty in 2016. And then I started getting involved in Twitter and trying more and more things and getting into more and more dynasty startups, different types of scoring. IDP, DEVI, and then I just kept going down, and I think that the only place lower I could get is like middle schoolers. It's not happening.
Oh, okay, good.
That's a quote from 2021. I mean, in 2019, if you asked me if I'd have been looking at high school prospects, I probably would have said never. So,
Before you move on, Spotlight, I have to ask, I don't know how Mrs. Fox feels, but my wife cannot stand me when I talk about fantasy football, but she's so bored with it that she's just like, yeah, that's fantastic. Let's talk about something else. How does Mrs. Spotlight feel about how many leagues you're in?
She doesn't know. And I also I try just never to talk about fantasy to her because she acts very much like your wife. So I just keep my own stuff to myself. I write my things in my very limited spare time. And It took me a long time to put this series together. So, yeah, I mean, I talk to you guys. That's why I'm on Twitter. That's why I'm part of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I could talk to you guys. You guys want to hear what I want to say, I think, yeah, in most cases. unless you're Jay Moyer. When... Sorry. when film meets analytics, we collide. Sorry. You got to take that clip and send it in.
I'm not editing this podcast.
As we compose this, yeah, and just to be clear, my wife and I love each other very much, and she actually has tried to get into fantasy some. She even created her own Twitter account so she could try and beat me in our fantasy leagues, which she did. She won the championship in one of them and made the playoffs in the other family league. I didn't make the playoffs in either, so she kicked my ass in both. Shout out to you, babe.
We should add her to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
We should.
Mine joined with me when I first really got into it, and she actually took home the championship before I did. She took it home, and then the next year I did, and then we had our daughter, and then she kind of phased out with that. And
I took over her team, and it collapsed.
Yeah. So
we'll blame on management, not on Mrs. Fox.
She gets annoyed with how much I'll talk about it, but yeah, she also doesn't know how many leagues I'm in, so I have to have like a separate account so I can be in paid leagues, so that she doesn't see money going out.
Yes, of course.
So
siloing.
Yep. Like, that's the beauty of Venmo and putting it other places.
We might need to edit this part out of the podcast just so our wives can't hear it.
My wife is not going to listen to this.
Nope.
So let's rein it in and get back on focus with the Campus to Canton stuff. Spotlight, if you will, tell us a little bit more about your series that's coming out. Around Campus to Canton and just college football in general.
Great. So I've been doing this research for the past 3 months, pretty much since the playoffs began. And I've just been looking for more places to learn more about scouting, to be more challenged, to learn more about players. And I wound up in this Campus to Canton league last year called the Ultimate Devi. Yeah, words are hard. So I got so interested in it, and I know that some people, there were some openings that some people from Fantasy Football Astronauts joined, and they're like, oh, that's a Campus to Canton league. And I'm like, oh, don't you mean Devi? And they're like, no, it's Campus to Canton. So I became borderline obsessed. And then I think that there are other people out there that probably also want to get more fantasy football fix. So I wanted to raise awareness with this article series, which also has discussions.
Okay.
And then a guide at the end. So basically the series is going to be 3 articles. There's going to be a community clubhouse session in the summer. And then sometime a little bit before August, we want to get out a college player draft guide so that people, you know, very similar to what the Fantasy Football Astronauts did for the NFL draft, you can see players in college. Who do you want to pick up for your Campus to Canton league? Who are some great people that are graduating out of high school? Where are they going? Things like that. So the first article, the first article I made was about the 5-star recruiting. And I was just, I looked at every single 5-star recruit from when Rivals started in 2013 until 2022. But then when I tried to talk to people about it, they were very confused. Even people in the Fantasy Football Astronauts, they want some more information. So I created the series instead. And the first part of the series is, what is Campus to Canton?
Okay.
And now in what is Campus to Canton, you really want to look at the evolution of fantasy football. You need to know how people even got to this point where they're creating a college fantasy football team and looking at high school prospects. You know, how, you know, the distance between like a redraft league and that can be very convoluted. And if I were to explain to any of
light years apart, right?
right. You know, and if I tried to explain this to any of my like people that I know not through Twitter, they would just think I was taking crazy pills. So the What Is Campus to Canton article talks about the evolution of fantasy. You know, so you get into the redraft league. And so a redraft league, you know, people, if you go back, people were doing fantasy football before the internet. And you know how they were doing it? They were getting newspapers on Monday. Yep. And they were writing down stats. And it really stunted the growth of fantasy football. But then the internet came and you got other tracking devices like ESPN, NFL, Sleeper, CBS, Yahoo. And you could really start quantifying these and sharing it with more people easily. So the base league that you had there was the quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a defense, and a kicker. This is, you know, a standard one quarterback league. You get points.
That's what I started playing.
So you get points for yards, and you get points for touchdowns. And then eventually the PPR. I remember PPR used to be the new thing. ESPN sent out like a press relief. All of our standard leagues are going to be PPR. You know, so now
when did that start, Spotlight?
Oh gosh,
she's you know,
like that wasn't 5 years ago.
I didn't think it was that long ago because my first league was a league with my dad. I think I started playing when I was 10 years old. And it was me, my dad, and either residents and doctors that he worked with, and a couple other medical sales reps. And when we started, it was standard. And then kind of as the leagues grew on ESPN and their settings grew, it moved into PPR. But I know it wasn't that long because I didn't start adding leagues and really getting into more leagues until college. And so like Superflex to me was like, well, what the hell is Superflex? And now I'm like, I don't know how many Superflex leagues I'm in, but
I didn't do my first Superflex until last season.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, everybody I knew before getting on Twitter was either standard or PPR, and it was just that one quarterback. I mean, there's still guys I talk to that they've never been in one where it's two quarterback.
The league that we're in is one QB half PPR, which I think is like, I don't know, it's almost a unicorn now because everyone's Superflex PPR.
But when I created it,
PPR.
When it was created, though, it was normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, you know, you start getting people being upset about the kickers. People are upset about defense. You know, these are so unpredictable year to year. I lost my fantasy football championship 1 point because of the kicker, blah, blah, blah. So people started to
focus. Matt Prater threw an interception.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I just pulled a random kicker out of my hat. Sorry, Matt Prater.
And you know, people started to focus more on individual players. So you'd want to start removing kickers, removing defense. Let's get individual players that we can track better. So then you start getting into these other leagues, and then you realize that, hey, this scoring system is so unbalanced, I just want running backs. You know, I just want running backs. If it's going to be two running backs, two wide receivers, give me all the running backs. I'm going to draft running back all day.
So for those of you that don't know, Spotlight still operates like this in leagues.
Yeah, I've got other articles on that, like the one that I wrote that helped me predict Alvin Kamara as the running back one last year, but that's a side note. So there, you know, you start adding positions. So, well, if we add more wide receivers, then they'll start becoming more valuable. Oh, well, what if we give different scoring to different players? So if you get a short pass, maybe we'll just make that 0.1 points per
tiered PPR, baby.
Tiered PPR. I remember I joined a Fantasy Football Astronauts Listener League in 2019, and it was a tiered PPR. And I thought it was a tiered PPR Superflex. I thought it was the craziest thing ever. You start to do these things to make the positions better. So you add this extra quarterback in there. because I mean, if you look at the fantasy footballers, they're always saying, wait on quarterback, wait on quarterback, just draft Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers in the late rounds. They're just going to perform as well. So everybody gets onto that. Everybody figures it out. And then, oh, what are we going to do? Let's make it a little bit more complicated. Let's add a second quarterback. So if we add a second quarterback, then now we have the same number of quarterbacks that we have running backs. You know, usually you're only going to have like one good running back per team, one good quarterback per team. You might have two wide receivers. And then, hey, well, what about the tight end? Just forget about the tight end. No, well, why don't we give him more scoring? So now every time he catches the ball, he's going to get 2 points. So, you know, it keeps getting bigger. And then you get the dynasty leagues where you can keep people year to year, and you can start tracking them based on their talent. And then you can start making forecasts and predictions. And, you know, this guy might be good for 2 years, or his window is not this year, but next year, you know. So then people got tired of the defense. Keyshawn Vaughn. People get tired of the defenses. Well, let's just do the IDP. We're going to have an individual defensive player. We can track them year to year. They're going to get points for touchdowns. They're going to get points for sacks and tackles, interceptions, pass breakups. So now I'm in multiple leagues where you have a whole offensive roster, you have a whole defensive roster, and then your total roster is the same size as the NFL.
You're welcome.
56. So, and that's a fun league for me. I really enjoyed getting into the defensive players in the last 2 years, but I wanted more. I wanted more. So that is how I got to Campus to Canton League. And you know what? I figured, yes, there are a lot of people that have come into from college into the NFL, but it is a finite number. It's, you know, roughly somewhere between 8 and 12 people, sometimes up to 16, per year between 2013 and 2020. We have good numbers on that. So I started looking at the five-star recruits because in Campus to Canton, let's just reel it back in on the what is Campus to Canton. In Campus to Canton, it's a dynasty league. You're going to keep your players year to year, and they don't leave you unless you trade them. But you have a cap limit on how many people can be on your team. Now, you also have a taxi squad, which might have first-year, second-year players in the NFL. Then you have a rookie draft every year where you take people that are just coming, like Justin Fields and all these guys that you guys are all talking about right now. And then you're not really getting into those college players. Now, if you're in a Devy league, you can start drafting those college players and keep them on a really large taxi squad. But it's... What I find is that it's harder to keep track of something that isn't giving me a measurable. So if I'm not seeing how much they're producing per week in their college or the league. NFL, then I'm not paying attention to them as much. But if you get into a Campus to Canton league, you can use Fantrax, which is an app.
I was just going to ask, what platform does this all sit on?
Fantrax. So in Fantrax, you can create a team, and you can create, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, supplemental tight end, and then you can have all these players, you know, big rosters usually, because there's so many different divisions. So when you start getting into how do I do this, okay? So, yeah, Spotlight, you're just talking about all this stuff. You talk really fast. I'm kind of confused. Well, you're going to go look at my article next week, and you're going to read up on what is Campus to Canton. And then at the end, you're going to get all the information for the league settings to set up your own Campus to Canton league.
Oh, right on.
On Fantrax.
On Fantrax, and I like Sleeper. There's a guy I quote in here, Brandon Lejeune, with Deep Dive Devy. He's been, he's in 8 Campus to Canton leagues. So I have an interview type thing with him tomorrow where I'm just going to ask him a bunch of questions on how he does stuff. He likes My Fantasy League because you can create custom players. you know, you're not going to be drafting high school players, but you would want to know who's in high school, just like you would want to know who's the rookie coming into the NFL so that you could prepare. So the way I got sucked into this was last year, I pretty much said yes to everyone. You want me to be in a league? Yes. It's IDP. That's fine. It's Superflex. That's fine. It's Dynasty, whatever.
And I multiverse. Kinda,
multiverse. Yeah, we need more of those.
Yeah, we do.
We need more of those. But
that's a whole nother pod, man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the multiverse is where if you love trades, you want a multiverse. I can't tell you the settings for everything. You have two leagues that have the one of each player, and then you draft the same. It's too hard.
It's a whole nother pod.
But well, honestly,
Spotlight basically outlined it.
Explain it, I think, is that it's a better version of a copy league.
Yeah, almost.
In that same regard of, you know, technically there's two players, but you're split into two different leagues.
And they have to stay in their same league.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can trade them. So if I want your draft picks in one league, and then you want a player in my league, you can do a trade.
Yep.
And they stay siloed. But you also have to do well in both leagues to take home money at the end of the year.
Right.
And yep. Money, I mean, renown.
Like a Nick Chubb for that first round pick, Shane?
No.
So
maybe. We'll talk about it later.
So from here on out, I have to have the understanding that you understand as a listener that when I talk about a dynasty league and a super flex league, you understand what I'm talking about. So in one league, the NFL, you have it's on Sleeper, or if it's on My Fantasy League or something that can have taxi squads and really complicated scoring systems, I like Sleeper. You've got your standard passing. You can have points for a first down. You can have completion bonus points for 40 mm-hmm. yards.
I love Sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Not a sponsor. Then,
so we have,
unfortunately,
the waiver is the fab. The trade deadline is none. Six playoff teams. It's a 12 team PPR dynasty. It's called the Ultimate Devi, and the commissioner is Voice in Fuego. You can find him on Twitter at Voice in Fuego. And here's the active roster. So it's a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and then three flex, and a flex being a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end, and then a super flex. So this gives you a lot of opportunity because you're not going to really be getting players onto this team except as they graduate from your campus from your Fantrax team. When they graduate that's how they get on your NFL roster. So there is an NFL rookie draft, but it's highly diluted. You really need to be going to the source, which is the players coming out of high school into college, and you need to get them at that time, and that's where my focus is now.
So Spotlight, how do you evaluate your players in the college aspect of a campus to can league?
Well, I'll even take that one further, like even with high school then added to that.
Yeah.
So now let me just put the cap on the NFL side. So you have a 17-person bench. You have 10 IR and 10 taxi spots. Now, your Fantrax side is exactly identical. You have the same roster construction. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, triple flex, super flex. Okay? And then you have the same number of IRs. You have the same number of taxi spots. And then the scoring is the same. So if you're going to score the same way in college that you do in the NFL. So there is probably a bias that I haven't looked into that if you're in a small school, but you have to be in the player pool is all Division I schools in the football subdivisions. You know, so they might be blowing up, but I kind of want a 5-star recruit that could be good from campus, the time they step foot on campus to the time they go to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So in the college, your league is going to start in September. Don't forget that the college football starts before the NFL. So you're drafting in August. We have the slow draft, just like in the NFL. 12 hours per pick. You might not be as familiar with these guys until we're done with you. So there's 10 rounds. It's a 10 round of the college. Ooh. It's a fixed draft, so it's not a snake. Any undrafted players go to the free agent pool. No trade deadlines. Free agents are on a first-come, first-served basis. There so, are like 1,200 players.
Sorry to interrupt here, but in a Campus Decanton league, if a college player, per se, doesn't get drafted, you can still pick them up on your college roster?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. You shouldn't have told me that.
So, in your Campus Decanton league, right? So you've got your regular roster. Your free agent pool is just much bigger. So you've got quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, triple flex, super flex, and then you have, 17 roster spots, 10 IR spots, 10 taxi squads, or they call them minors in the fan tracks. But,
right.
You know, in a five-star recruit, you can get somewhere between 25 and 33 to 34 players per year. But there's like 1,200 people that go into college Division I.
Yeah.
So roughly from my numbers, 40% of five-star recruits are going to be drafted in the NFL. So when the first article ends, you can go to What is Campus Decanton, the Evolution of Fantasy Football, and a sample league. So you can learn about it, how you can convince people to join a league like this, which might be difficult, maybe a little bit easier in Twitter, but even hard in Twitter. So then you can set up your own league. So you have your fan track settings, you have your sleeper settings, you scoring, all these trade deadlines. You just go through and you input that, and then you can be a commissioner. So that's why I said this is awareness. And then the second one is I'm going to provide a list for you of every rival's five-star recruit by year, by position, only for the offense. And then gross statistics about how that class was successful into getting into the NFL. And then some comments on their career, like Adrian Peterson was the top-rated offensive recruit in 2004, and he's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. Reggie Bush was the top-rated high school recruit for offensive players in 2003. He'll definitely be in the College Football Hall of Fame, probably not pro. Cam Newton was a five-star recruit, sat behind Tim Tebow, transferred to the junior college, went to Auburn, became the number one overall pick. Yeah.
Ward Bam! Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
He knows. So then the second article is going to cover all these five-star recruits. So if you want to know if such and such player was a five-star recruit or how good the upcoming class is for you, like for me, I've been fading this NFL draft class heavily. I've been trading my first-round picks. Last year, I was trading running backs going into their second contract, like Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, all those guys trying to get last year's rookies. And this year, I'm trying to sell my rookies to prepare for next year and also to grab last year's rookie talent. Shane, you've seen some of my rosters. It's like all second-year players plus DK Metcalf.
Yes, you butthole.
Yes, exactly. That's appropriate, child. And in Twitter and stuff like this, when I'm in some groups like in the double move sports, I mean, some guys like, hey, I really want to be in a league, but I'm only 14 and I don't really have $10. I'm like, okay. Like, wow. Like when you're talking about fantasy football, you might be talking to people that are a lot younger than us. You still want to get them involved because they're the future of fantasy football.
Yes, they are.
And let's be clear. Younger than me, you guys are still young.
Technically, I'm the future of fantasy football.
You are. We all, the fantasy football astronauts are, that's for sure. And Twitter, because Twitter's great. So then the third article is going to be like really detailed analytics. So now you know what Campus Decanton is. Now you've seen all these five-star recruits. Let's look at all these cool things like, wow, 17 players have come to Alabama. and the SEC has brought this many five-star recruits in, blah, blah, blah. So now you can see that these guys are really competing at a top level all the time. So then after you guys have taken all of that in, we'll have a clubhouse community session where we'll just talk about fantasy. We'll talk about college fantasy, some high school players. This is like an awareness. We really need to raise the awareness for Campus to Canton because you can find these guys on Twitter. I mean, some of the top, there's three top recruits, five-star recruits from Rivals from 2021, quarterbacks. You can see all their game tape. It's on their Twitter profiles. They're like sophomores. So that's a good place to get tape. And then the fifth thing is going to be a college player draft guide. So if you want to know who are some names that you should be targeting in the sea of 1,000 players, we can point you in the right direction. So hopefully we'll be able to get some player film in there, very similar to what the Fantasy Football Astronauts Draft Guide did. And that about wraps up my series.
Is the guide a premium type thing, or is this going to be free to anyone who has access to it?
I think that everything would be free except for the guide.
Okay.
But the guide would be like a small fee. Just so, you know, I mean, you got to understand I've been doing this for 3 months.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Spotlight, this series sounds awesome.
It does.
I've already been intrigued in Campus to Canton. I added another Devi League this off season, so I need to just make the jump and jump into a Campus to Canton league. But I'm just trying to be patient and like force Sleeper's hand to add Devi and Campus to Canton, and I think we're getting there.
It won't do it until you start the leagues. Come on, you're in a fantasy football Twitter group making a podcast. If you're not doing it, how are you going to convince?
I've already got two Devi leagues on there, and it's a really manual process. So I'm working on them. But so briefly, explain the five-star recruiting system to us, because I think that's how you've kind of outlined, that's how you evaluate these players that are coming in from high school into college. So yes. Can you briefly kind of give us an outline of that?
Yeah. So there are two major places that you want to look at for five-star recruits: Rivals and 247 Sports.
Yep.
So these people are professional scouts. Their job is to look at high school talent across the United States. And they're grading all of these talents. So they're doing, the way I see it, is they're doing all the legwork, a lot of the legwork for us. So I want to evaluate how Rivals is, because I just want to know, when they tell me it's a five-star recruit, well, how accurate is that? And how likely are they going to go to the NFL? And how likely are they going to do well in college and the NFL? And that's what we'll be looking at in the third part of the series. So that is really, it's really the means for doing the analytics. So they've put together all this data, and then we'll be breaking it down for trends, success rates, things that you want to target. And then you can make the forecasts for players' success later on.
Awesome. So this might be a loaded question. It might not be. How many players in the Super Bowl this past year, Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or Tampa Brady, however you want to call it. I hate that guy. How many players in the Super Bowl were five-star recruits before they came into the NFL?
All right, let me get my abacus real fast. I'm going to look in this telescope. Okay, there's Jetpack Galileo. Cool. Five. There were five. Five fives. Do you want to know who they were?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Mike Evans?
Nope.
Damn, he was a four-star, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't a five star.
No, was he a four star though?
I think that he only got 1 to 3 offers to play in college, so okay. He wasn't highly sought after.
Gotcha. I'm just trying to.
Fox, you got any guesses?
This is outside of my scope, and I'm going to recuse myself from sounding like an idiot trying to
get. What about Kelsey? Is Travis Kelsey
was
one?
He was not.
Damn. I know Tom Brady wasn't.
Well, right? He precedes the five-star rivals, which started in 2003. And
would Mahomes be one?
No.
Mahomes was not. He was a three-star recruit.
Really?
Yeah. So that's actually the reason I asked this question, Fox, was I saw a tweet probably right around the Super Bowl or right after that said that the amount of players in the Super Bowl that were, I think, 3 and 4 stars actually outnumbered the number that were 5 stars. So I knew that, but I couldn't tell you who the 5 stars were.
If you're a numbers person, no. If you're a numbers person, that's a loaded question. Because there are like 150 more 3 and 4 star recruits than there are 5 star recruits. They're more rare, you know? So,
yeah.
Now, the best success that they had was with Leonard Fournette. So in 2014, Leonard Fournette was the number one overall offensive recruit from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had OJ Howard, who went to Alabama.
Wow.
Sorry, Shane. He was the fourth overall offensive player, and he was the 16th overall. So when there's two numbers, because Rivals does offense and defense, and I'm only interested in the offense. So I have one number. The first number is the number that is the offense versus defense. And then the second one is overall. So you get OJ Howard. And if you go way back to 2003, the first year that I have data from, Chad Haney.
Oh, my God.
13th overall high school recruit.
So we're at two guys who didn't even play.
Hold on. Before you continue, was Tyrann Mathieu one?
Tyrann Matthew's a defensive player.
Oh, touche.
So I can't tell you. I only can look at so much. So Mecole Hardman was the fourth overall player, the fourth offensive player, and the number 11th in 2016. He went to Georgia.
Yep.
And the at FF Ballers Lizard King at seventh overall offensive
Sammy
player. Number Watkins. 15, Sammy Watkins from 2011. He went to Clemson.
Wow. Very interesting.
So Leonard Fournette, though, is a very interesting five-star recruit. So not only was he top going into college, but he was the first offensive player taken in the NFL draft, I believe, a few years back.
Yeah.
And now he was also a great top performer in a Super Bowl. He's not going to be Hall of Fame, I don't think. But still, so was pretty good. That 2016 class, they only had like 8 offensive players. All the other ones have like 12 or more.
Interesting.
That 2016 class was rough. And then there was another class where like there weren't very many and like 3 of them went to prison.
Oh, shit. What year was that? We won't name the players, but what year was that? Do you know?
I can't remember, but I have it. It'll be in the third article.
Okay.
It'll be in the third article.
Look out for that third article.
Look out for that. But I mean, so actually I got this idea from a guy who wrote an article for the NFL, for NFL.com, Mike Hugin. At Mike Hugin on Twitter, on February 3rd in 2014, he had a bunch of data through 2014 that was gotcha. Kind of the basis. Like, I'm very much standing on his shoulders when I started doing my research into the five-star recruits. So, Mike Hugin,
gotcha.
You know, you have a lot of players that never even – set foot on. You have players that never even set foot on a college campus. So,
yeah. Well, Spotlight, we appreciate you illuminating the world of Campus to Canton.
I could listen to this for hours, man. This stuff is interesting and definitely a side I don't fully understand myself. So it's awesome to actually like hear this explanation. And like I'm stoked to do a Campus to Canton just from listening to this.
It's because you're a Kentucky fan.
I swear there has been at least one 5-star recruit from Kentucky, but they're not notable enough that I can remember who they were off the top of my head.
Was the Hefty Lefty a 5-star?
I don't think he was.
It's Jared Lorenzen, right? That's the Hefty Lefty.
Yeah.
Okay.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. Okay. So Spotlight, you and I have actually talked about this before. My guilty pleasure TV show is Southern Charm. You and I have talked about this show before. I think you watch it with your wife. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But with that inspiration, our top five this week with Spotlight is our top five favorite Southern Charm. I said people because they're actual humans. They're not characters. So our top five favorite people on the show, Southern Charm.
And Fox. To be clear, I don't support this. So this is not from me. This is my disclaimer. I am not giving the top five. These are Mrs. Fox's notes, not mine. Let the world know that.
Okay, so
you can catch me on other reality shows, but not this one.
Fox, with that, I know you've got a kind of a time crunch here. Do you want to rattle off your five and then me and Spotlight can continue?
Sure.
Okay, so start from the bottom. Who is Mrs. Fox's fifth favorite person on Southern Charm?
Fifth favorite. Hold on here. We got Shep Rose. I don't know any of these people.
Oh my gosh. She's low on Shep. Okay. Who's fourth?
I've got Whitney Sudler Smith.
Okay. Interesting. I like that one. Who's third?
Leva Bonaparte.
Yeah.
You guys are making faces, and I don't know what any of this means.
So who's her number two?
Patricia Altschul.
Yeah,
she's a female. She's very good, really a female.
Yeah,
and then
Patricia is like the matriarch of the whole show. So that's a good choice.
And her top one is Cameron Eubanks Wibley.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
So, Cameron, if you know, the show is called Southern Charm. If you want to talk about Southern Charm and somebody that you would really want to be a torchbearer for what it is to be a, in quotes, Southern woman before that, you know, Me Too or whatever, you know, Cameron would have been.
It's either Patricia or Cameron, I think.
Yeah. I just like Cameron.
Patricia would probably be like more of a historical, like, Southern belle, and it's because she is older. But then, like, if you're looking for a more modern one, I think Cameron fits that bill perfectly.
She's got a good book out recently. I know my wife wants to get it. Mother's Day is coming up, but maybe I should. That's a great idea.
You're welcome.
This is like Spanish to me. I don't have a clue what you're saying, but if we're doing like Below Deck, I'm all for that.
Okay.
Okay.
One or two seasons, Mediterranean, and the first one ever.
Well, and we're watching the Below Deck Yacht one now.
Nice.
Man, Bravo's really getting some shout-outs here.
Bravo, they really are. I mean, and I hate to admit it, but I could tell you everything about the New York and Orange County Housewives.
Okay, if you like those, you will like Southern Charm so much better.
I don't like them, but she puts them on, and I have to be invested to watch it, so I have to know what's going on, or it's just that much worse for me.
So that's how the triplets are made, because of that.
So I think we could do, honestly, a separate podcast just on some of these shows. We should just do a Bravo podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, come on. I mean, Andy Cohen. Have you seen any reunions? Like, talk about a moderator. I mean, he really, you know, Craig has always wanted to be a moderator for a long time with his JD. But Andy Cohen is a true moderator.
He's got the 411.
But wait a second. I think he has a significant other that also might be a moderator.
I believe so. I can't remember the name, but I know, I think he is.
I can't help you there.
I think they hosted the,
this is really devolved quickly.
Anderson Cooper.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He's also a moderator for the news. Anyway. So,
real news.
We should do like a little, in quotes, Spitballers podcast. Sorry at FF Ballers.
Yeah, we need to have like just a Bravo podcast.
Oh my god.
We could do it with the wives. I mean,
yeah, that'd be fun.
I'll need to get a second headset for sure.
That could be fun. Fox, before we let you go, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at CarbonFox_FF, and I should be kind of making my way back onto social media a little bit more now too, with the league and or with the season and everything, with the draft coming up. So I've kind of
thank God Twitter is a desolate place without you.
You made some drops on the multiverse. I saw.
Yes. So I'm making my way back.
Proud of you.
But it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thanks for having me. And especially since you just recently had those triplets, this might be your first pod back.
It is his first pod back.
It is. I made sure to come back for this one.
So thank you.
Spotlight, don't go too far because we still got to do our top five favorite Southern people.
Yeah, we should probably cut this and send it to the next one.
I can't wait to hear the end of this and not.
Cheers. All right, Spotlight. So the way that we typically do the top five, other than, you know, having Fox read off his five from his wife, is we're going to alternate between the two of us back and forth. We'll go 5-1, and I'll let you start. It's kind of funny, though, because our rankings are pretty similar. But before we do that, I have to ask you, how did you get, like, we'll call it sucked into watching Southern Charm?
It's funny you ask. So I was on my honeymoon with my wife in Barbados.
Nice.
And every night they have these things where all the couples, because everybody else who was married within 1 or 2 days of us, goes and has this cookout, and we don't know anybody. So she starts talking to this girl. And then next thing you know, the next year we're at their house in Maryland. And they're all over Southern Charm season 4. And they're like, well, we'll go back and we'll watch. You know, it's like early in the morning. You know, we had been out in the town in Annapolis. Why don't we just watch a little bit of this show, Southern Charm? I mean, Lexi likes The Housewives. Maybe you'll like this. So we start watching it. It's great. I mean, it's hilarious. You have these really dynamic characters. So we got sucked in very quickly. And then it was years ago, back in 2016, or 2017. It was hard to even find it. And then eventually Bravo started streaming it, or we could find it or something, or the computer worked better. And now we're done. And I was just, you know, it was the other day I asked my wife, like, when does Southern Charm come back on? Like,
exactly.
It's been too long.
I totally agree. So my wife started watching it on a beach trip. It just happened to be, like, she always sleeps with the TV on. And she put Bravo on, and it came on, and she was, I think she was pregnant with Alice Collier, Charlotte, one of the kids. I can't remember which one. And so she had gone up to just lay in the bed while we were all playing cards or something. And she told me about the show. And I was like, oh, whatever. So she watched like the first 2 or 3 seasons without me. And then I started watching with her whenever she'd put it on. And I was like, okay, this is actually kind of interesting and kind of funny. And now I love it. Like I said, it's my guilty pleasure. I find myself somewhat relatable to some of the characters in different ways. So, but I'm nowhere near the party boy that any of these guys are. So with that, let's do it. Who is your fifth favorite person on Southern Charm?
Chelsea.
So interestingly enough, she's also my fifth favorite. I redid my rankings right before the show. So she dropped to fifth, but I love Chelsea. I mean, I think she, just being honest here, I find her attractive. But she's also just a really cool person to me and seemed really down to earth. And Austin lost a good one there, I think. Cause she was really down to earth, really hardworking. And just a cool, cool person, I feel like, and would have been someone that would have been good for him. So now I'll go next with my fourth favorite person because we were the same on five with Chelsea. My fourth favorite person is Cameron. Cameron is, I mean, she's awesome. She's hilarious with her dry wit and kind of being the mama bear to Shep and Craig. So I just love her personality and how dry she can be sometimes to just be like, guys, get your crap together. So I see that she is also your fourth favorite. So tell me why.
Well, first I want to put this side note in about Chelsea. I mean, they spent like two seasons talking about this downward spiral of Austin and Madison.
Oh my God.
And you know, Chelsea, I mean, she was so cool. I mean, it's interesting because they live a very different life from us where, you know, they don't always have to have a day job. So they, I mean, I have a day job and I'm podcasting at night. So like, that's the opposite of like doing nothing except for sleeping and maybe going to the gym and then like partying all night. So she's a real down to earth, regular life person that I think is very relatable for everybody. And then Cameron, well, I sometimes wonder how she got involved in this show at all in the very beginning, but it seemed like she had good ties with Patricia and very much looks up to Patricia.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, after she had her first child, that
an only child, maybe a little bit
too much for her, and especially with the privacy.
Yeah. You
know, people being all up in her life. But she was great. I mean, I know she'll side with Whitney. She'll side with Patricia to the end, especially with Catherine. You know, Catherine and who definitely got a lot of heat in season 7. I'm not really sure I want to talk about that. Just for my own benefit in life on Twitter.
Let's stray away from
just
that.
Just gonna pretend that yeah, no, yes. She's in trouble. So Cameron, I mean, I'm literally going to buy that book for my wife for Mother's Day. I mean, she's talked about it. I don't know why I hadn't thought about it before.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So here's where our, so the next three people on our rankings are the same, but they're in a different order. So I'm going to let you go first. Who's your third favorite person on Southern Charm?
Well, it's got to be Shep. I mean, Shep lives the life that I think that many
men want to live.
Really want to live. you know, he plays it close to the line. He sometimes goes over it, but not far enough. But then, you know, he'll come around later. Or, you know, I'm sure that they dramatize a lot of this stuff.
He's also uber smart.
Really?
Yeah. His famous tagline, I think it's from season 1 or 2, is he is overeducated and undermotivated.
I've heard that, yeah.
He's got his undergrad from UGA, and then I think he's got an MBA from Vanderbilt. So he's pretty smart. At least book smart.
Maybe he's fantasy football smart. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Shep, come join Scott Fishbowl and test your wits against us nerds.
Astronauts. Don't get them confused with the at Dynasty Nerds and EK Baller. Don't get confused.
So my third favorite is Austin, and he is a – I've actually been listening to his and Craig's podcast, Pillows and Beer, and he's just moving up the ranking because he's just – he seems like a cool guy. Even though he went to Alabama, he seems like a really, really cool guy, and I really want to try his beer. That's what you and I actually originally started talking about was Trop Hop, his beer. It's a tropical IPA. I want to say it's 6.5% by – alcohol by volume. I still haven't tried it yet, and I really want to. I'm seriously considering just driving to Charleston now because it's only about 2 hours away, 3 hours away, and grabbing some Trop Hop and coming back.
Well, I know Charleston is high on my list of places to go, but Austin, I've also watched, listened to his podcast, so... I have Austin as my number two.
Yes. So tell me why you have Austin over Shep.
I have Austin over Shep because I think Shep gave up on Craig and now Austin and Craig are best friends.
Yeah.
And I think that they have a great dynamic and maybe Shep is going to settle down. I'm not sure. He's maybe, you know, a little bit older than them, and Shep has been a little bit too edgy at times. He's been too pointed. There are some things, you know, that he said or some of his actions. I mean, yes, it's a drama television show, but you know, we all witness it. And then, you know, if you look at this show from seven seasons ago, the things that were happening in there, and then put them happening tomorrow, I mean, you may think differently about them.
Very true. So I've actually got Shep at two, and we'll just say that's because of historical value. I think just because of his longevity on the show, I like how he's grown, because I agree that some of the stuff that he said in past seasons or even just in his past in general probably wouldn't fly in today's culture. But I feel like his new girlfriend, Taylor, and I don't think they're engaged yet, but I feel like that's coming soon. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. I feel like her and the fact that he's gone to therapy, he's really seemed to grow up as an, like, not just as a character, but as a person. He seems to kind of have mellowed out. So like those things that you said that he said back in the past that were pointed and very direct and maybe a little angry, those have kind of smoothed themselves out, especially in this last season. So I've really come to respect how Shep has grown as a person. And the thing is like, he's 40. He's probably about 7, 8, 9, 10 years older than Craig and Austin, and Catherine. So like, he's an older character on there. He still looks great. And he's finally kind of grown up a little bit. So I really like Shep as my number two. So number one we have is the same person. I'm going to let you talk about him first. Who is it?
Craig, because he sits and he sews. And I used to work in a costume shop myself.
Oh, very nice.
I've made many a costume, you know, and I like to sew up all my torn clothes. But he's just such a fun guy, and he can push it to the limit. He likes to tell it how it is. He really worked hard to get that his law degree. So, but anyway, he's just a super fun guy, and then I like his stuff with Austin or his Instagram lives.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that developed into the podcast.
If I were ever to meet these people, I think that the one that I would like to meet the most would be Craig.
Yeah.
And side note, if these three guys got into Scotty Fishbowl, because I remember when I, in my application, and I got to talk about what band do you want to be in or division, blah, blah, and what famous person do you want to be in your league? Like right now I wrote Paul Rudd only because I could Google him and I know that he likes fantasy football. But if these guys like fantasy football,
See, I know that Austin is a Panthers fan because him and his dad have gone to Panthers games. So there's a shot that and he also posted, I looked on his Twitter today. Sorry, Austin, not actually stalking you. But I know that he posted on his Twitter account about the DraftKings sportbook and placing bets on golf. So I know he at least likes sports enough and fantasy sports enough to bet on it. So maybe there's a shot. But I totally agree with you. Craig is the 101 of Southern Charm people. He's we've watched him grow up. He started as a very young 20-something-year-old and has grown now into his 30s where he was struggling to find the motivation to finish law school and pass the bar. He finally did that, and now he started his own successful business, which that also had some bumps in the road, which you see on the show, to where now he's got his own company, and they're opening a brick-and-mortar store in downtown Charleston. So
those pillows are really expensive, and they're too expensive for me to buy for Mother's Day, unlike Cameron's book, which is only $20.73 on Amazon. But if you talk about a campus to Canton story, I really liked Craig coming out of when he came into the league, you know, and he's done well. You know, you've seen season after season, he's just been a top performer. Will he make it into the Hall of Fame? The Southern Charm Hall of Fame.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've devolved enough to where this episode needs to end. Spotlight, thank you so much for coming on. You really, pun totally intended here, you really shed a light on what Campus to Canton is.
Spotlight, and helped please.
Yes. So before we sign off, where can they find you, and when can we expect this series to start coming out?
So you can find me on Twitter at @FF_spotlight. You can also check the hashtag Spotlight Insight and see all my tweets. I have special ones for trades or special ones for throwbacks, things, and then special ones for Campus to Canton. So you can siphon through Twitter and find my content that way. And then you can expect these out. So I have that, like I said, that interview with the deep dive Devi, Brandon Lejeune this week. So next week you could see that, what is Campus to Canton article. And then it'll be a few weeks after that to get the gross every single five-star recruit. And then by midsummer, you could see the deep analytics of the five-star recruits. And then that clubhouse would be like in July. And then the draft guide, the college player guide, would be mid to late July. I think a lot of times drafts happen in early August. So,
gotcha.
It'd be the clubhouse and the draft guide would come out close to each other.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter @FantasyNightcap. Follow me, Shane, @FFShaneB. And as previously mentioned, you can follow our lovely Fox. Thank you so much for returning tonight, @CarbonFox_FF. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Nightcap, where we serve you fantasy advice straight, no chaser.